According to my watch, it's 10 o'clock. We can start. Good morning, everyone, honorable members, the department, and our support staff. Everyone is here. We are happy after a working day. We are here, 2nd of May. And let's welcome everyone after a long weekend. Everyone is here, is safe. I can see the smiles, people have rested. And the lipsticks are, they're not covering anything. It's just lipstick for people to be nice. So with those words, I'm officially opening this meeting. There's an agenda in front of us where we are going to adopt the agenda. But before, there are two issues that we need to rectify there. We'll first flag on the PC's outcome, the last meeting. And there were directives from the PC that we must come and make sure that we deal with matters that they've raised from the PC. And moving forward, we'll have a document that all of us as subcommittee are going to present to the mother committee. It should be understood that here we are a committee, we are not political parties, and a committee must deal with committee matters. On those ways, I think we will understand each other to say, what is it that we are doing here? There were things that went wrong on that meeting. We can't dwell on it. We are here to fix that part. Secondly, we have Honorable Khadebe in our midst. He's our whip in the committee. He's going to be with us full-time and moving forward. So the committee has been beefed up. So you just have to do your work now. I'm no longer myself. Now there's someone who's going to whip all of us here. So the agenda, according, we agreed that you will hear from the department. They will present their position. So it should be understood it's not our position. A committee's got its own position. You have your position as a department. Once we have that parallel issues, we don't cross each other, and then we'll never have problem moving forward. You have your document, you must convince us why we should retain, we should not take it out and moving forward, so that there's no conflict between ourselves and yourself. We are parliament, there are processes in parliament. We deal with the document as parliamentarian. You come with your document as a department. So I think based on those two ways, I'll also request Mr. Khadebe, Honorable Khadebe, to outline some of the processes moving forward so that we are on the same page. And secondly, we will do the introduction because I'm used to you. but there's Honorable Khadebe in our midst, so that, and I've got a new, on my right, you can see there's a new handsome man. So you don't even know who is this person next to me. So we'll do the introduction, then we'll take it from there. Then we'll adopt the agenda before. But we must do the introduction, which is not part of the agenda. Honorable Khadebe, this is the subcommittee on copyright, which was established to make sure that we deal with the matters so that we don't, there are no lots of work to the PC. So we deal with the issues, all of us, the opposition, everybody is here. There's Ms. Honorable Albert, Honorable Kajalia, Honorable Mbuyanen, and there is also EFF. And there's one Honorable that I'm not seeing. It's Honorable Albert, ne? Oh, okay. Steenhuisen is in attendance. It's Albert who's not here. And Honorable Ntlangwi. We were joined by Honorable Mashova. I don't know, you'll deal with that part moving forward. On my on my right is Shupeka Mdileni from NCOP. He's going to be assisting us because our staff today, they are on leave almost all of them. We have our researcher, Sheldon, isn't it? Madalana, yeah. So, yeah. So, we've got advocate, Van der Merwe, who's dealing with is our legal advisor on the committee. We have the DDG, on behalf of the DG, Evelyn. Yeah, I think I'm using Evelyn too much, so I forgot the surname. It's Evelyn Masocha. Masocha, yes. We've got Miss Padayake. Usually they are next to each other. I don't understand what's happening between Padayake and Mester next to her. They always sit together, so I don't know if they are twins or what. So, next to Padayake, it's who? Mkonza. Yeah, you see, she even knows how to pronounce Mkonza. Then there's a chief director, legal. Yeah.
CCRT.
Yeah. You know? Oh, okay. Next to her is...
Pretoria.
Zola.
Pretoria.
Pretoria, yeah. Pretoria, I think those names, when you name children, you take the fathers and the mothers,
yeah,
and then you combine together and then say, now we're covered. So here is Saroj. Yeah, you know Saroj? Okay. She'll pile you with messages. We have our staff, our PMG is here, they in attendance. It's a formal meeting. It's recorded. Then we've got our Mlungisi. Yeah, our staff. So I think I haven't left anyone out. No? Yeah. You can.
Thank you, Honorable Teko, for the warm welcome. I'm an old hand in trading industry. I had to take a detour to the international relations, but at least I'm back full time now with the trading industry. Chairperson, there's not much to say except to say that we are under extreme time pressure to finish whatever bills that we're going to have. We must remember that next day is an election year. Being an election year, it means that our time in Parliament is going to be very limited. If you can look at the constituency period from June, almost 2 months, we're going to have 2 months worth of constituency period moving forward. So we can see that we don't have time. So with this agenda, Chair, I think that we must be able to guide the study of the portfolio committee in particular. You must remember that when the bill is presented by the department and then given to the portfolio committee, it becomes the bill of Parliament. It's no longer the issue of the department now. It's the one who's going to run with it. So if the department has got certain issues or a change of heart on anything, it must come back to report to the PC if necessary. Sometimes we have to get a permission from the House itself that we are now deviating from the original bill which was tabled. So that's why I'm very comfortable with this agenda which is here today and then with these bills which are in front of us. But remember, from where we're moving now today is the bill which was submitted to Parliament is the one which is official document we're working with. So the department must convince us to report why we have to deviate from the bill if necessary. If the deviation is too much, I think that we have to get a mandate from the PC. Sometimes we even have to go back to the House. As I said, that our time frame is very limited. That's why that we must work with speed. We must work with speed. But I know the South Africans, the way they are, they tend to resolve issues even if they are contentious. Thank you, Chair.
With those words, I think now maybe we will understand each other moving forward. It will be a tough process. Some will cry, so I will need to be honest with you. Because I think me now was lenient and I was nursing feelings of people. So now I won't nurse anyone. I have studied everybody, and now I know all of you. And then now we need to work. It's time to work. Convince me. And the team. This is what you say is right. We have a document, as I said last week. We cannot work on department document. And I was right. This is our document. The committee's document. D department, convince us why we should keep some of the item or not, or what. That's what we are saying now. The clause by clause, that is the process that we are where. That's where we are on the clause to source on the PC. But here we are going to come up. There are issues we raised. We'll first start with those ones. We outline and the intervention. If we cannot take a decision because we're recommending to the PC, then we'll just flag it. Then we'll go and recommend to the committee. Then we'll take a decision as a committee. I think that process is easy. We just have to be dealing with three documents and at the same time moving forward. We have to be bright and smart and intelligent. So if we have something to activate your intelligence, you must activate your intelligence to be able to cut across these three documents. This is the system moving forward. So the adoption of the agenda based on with those few amendments. Can I get the adoption? Honorable Kajali. Seconded by Honorable Khadem. Thanks. I will first hand over to advocate to outline those issues that those were raised on the PC for the subcommittee to deal with first. Then the department will come in. Then after that, the department will present the two documents, and then we'll move it from there. And then we'll end up with the deliberation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Members, if we look at the redrafted bill, the first issue that came up is on page 4 of that bill in clause 1. But it's not something really for the committee to discuss. It was something that more just to take note of. It is something that will come later where the department will present on the name of the tribunal, whether it should be intellectual property or copyright tribunal. So it's just that was just for noting. The second issue that came up is in clause 2 of the bill, the insertion of section 2A. Now the first question that came up here is in respect of subsection 1. Copyright protection subsists in expressions and not, and then specifically paragraph B, not in the case of computer programs in interface specifications. The question that came up is why copyright is excluded in respect of computer programs. So in the committee itself, we explained that if you read that sentence as a whole, copyright protection subsists in expressions and not in the case of computer programs in interface specifications. It is not that it doesn't exist in computer programs. It is just that it's excluded in respect of interface specifications. So the portfolio committee said that this matter must come back to the subcommittee for the department to explain to the committee what interface specifications mean and then why copyright would be excluded from that. Chair, shall I maybe just first stop there and we deal with that one issue?
Thanks, Chair. I think, that's not what I'm saying. Thanks, Advocate. This is the process I think we're going to use. You need to respond, and we need to debate and find a way to each other. Members will come in so that you also satisfy members.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chair, and good morning, members, honorable members, and my colleagues. In terms of the clause number 2 on the interface specifications, what this overall provision on the protection, it looks at areas in the bill that will not be catered for in terms of copyright. And I'm just starting broadly in terms of what are those, for example, ideas. And say, for instance, you have an expression like a legislative bill that you cannot say that is your copyright. So when it comes to the interface specifications, what are those interface specifications? We are saying that they form part of the technological sphere in terms of computers. They are interfaces, and we are saying that they are open and they are made available for free. these are interfaces that can happen in terms of applications, softwares, and hardwares. Because they are free, one cannot claim them to be copyright. And there is a forum called the Forum SA. And Forum SA is a consortium that develops and publishes and educates on and promotes open specifications for career-grade and mission-critical systems. And they offer some of these for free. So because these are available for free from the SA Forum, for example, one cannot claim them to be copyright. They are public accessible interfaces on technology that are outside the scope of the provisions of the copyright. Thank you. Members. Honorable Kajalia, Honorable Albert.
Could you perhaps give us an example of this and whether, and in terms of whether it's free, how does that apply to the creator, if I'm using the right word, of that particular interface?
Honorable Kajalia, in terms of the how part, I may not be able to give you the specifics in terms of the actual how, but these are interfaces. It's a technological mechanism. So meaning that if it's available, I'll think, let me use an example of a Wi-Fi. I'm not saying it's Wi-Fi. If Wi-Fi is accessible, let's say Tshwane provides Wi-Fi for the whole of the city, I cannot come and say that's my copyright. So it's like it's a technological mechanism. It works from applications. It can be softwares. You do get the freeware. Certain IT-related devices or softwares that can be shared, but they don't belong to a particular person per se. But it's something that the public can benefit from.
DDG, you must also allow your staff to make input on this one. We need to deal with this matter until all of us will find our footing. Can CRD, please explain? Yeah, I want your attention now. Can you please make members to understand this part? Honorable Kajalia, it doesn't understand the...
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I won't be able to give a view apart from what the CDG really has given. Maybe, I don't know if it's proper for me to pass this on to policy, because there's actually more substance to it rather than a technical aspect.
No, it's fine. That's why we're here, all of us. You know it's not a, it's a policy issue, but I have come in. Here we are a team. That's why everybody, DDG outline, then you make your point. You must understand all of us. Then members, so that members, they don't have questions and questions on top of it. One question. Please don't be fast.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. I think maybe I should just give you context to the entire section first of why we're excluding these types of works, starting from ideas. So copyright is like all forms of intellectual property, creations of your mind, and it's a creative input. So in terms of the one treaty we intend acceding to, the World Copyright Treaty, we've taken and modeled this clause on that treaty, where it's sort of modernizing things of copyright today. For example, an idea cannot be protected by copyright because it's not in, it's not original, which is a requirement of copyright, or reduced to material form. And also you're looking for a creative input, a work, not just effort. We don't want to protect effort, only effort where you've just arranged something. So a computer program is copyrightable because we know there's algorithms, it's very intricate, there's a lot of creative input put into this work. A specification can just be not even a formula, sort of a small a how-to, if you look at it that way, a how-to manual to further develop. And that is just maybe organizing information into a manual that's not, like I said, the creative effort or the input that creates a completely new original form of a work. So that's why we're excluding the interface specification, separating it from the computer program. So the computer program will have its copyright because we know it's very complicated and there's algorithms which, again, adds a creative context to the creation of the work. But ideas, processes, that's why we've also excluded legislative text, because we're all working on that text. How would you know who owns the copyright? So that's the rationale behind the entire clause and just that small exclusion. And as the DDG mentioned, there is a company functioning in South Africa that makes this information free. So it's kind of, if you think of when you buy a DVD and you get that manual inside your box that tells you how to set it up, how to put it together, or any computer. It's those sort of specification information that is excluded because it will be in every box that you buy or computer, and it's not necessarily stemming from a substantial creative effort. It's just all information being presented in a specific form.
I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Honorable
Stenhouse,
yes.
Madam Chair, yes, I hear what the presenter say, but it's still a bit of a grey area in the digital world. Has changed copyright completely, and we must accept it. But there's still questions on the storage, on libraries. There's some exceptions, and we've actually. See that orphan work or the recommendations have been removed from the thing, but there is still problems. There is still the user and there's still, for me, there's still a few grey areas, but I'm sure we're going to get it to it now.
DDG, it's your ball. When I have a team, and I'm looking at you all the time.
Thanks, Jay. Honorable, we agree with you that there were issues that were raised, and some of the grey areas are there in the bill from the public hearings and from the comments that we have received. And we are going to, as we go through this process, address some of them. They roll through the bill, so we'll take care of them as we move along. Yeah.
Thank you. Advocate. We are fine with that. I think we are all in agreement with members.
The next issue then is on the next page. Still in this clause, it is now the insertion of section 2A, subsection 4, paragraph B. And what it actually does, it is more a question from Mrs. Fubbs that is more a policy related thing. It was just to see if something is in fact covered and how it is covered. What subsection 4 does is it says that you can't have copyright on in paragraph A, an expression that is so inextricably merged with an idea, or that expression is required by the law, so like PTY Limited.
I'm lost. Where are you now?
Page 4.
Page 4.
Section 2A, subsection 4. So what subsection 4 deals with is exclusions of copyright. So paragraph A says there are certain things where the expression is not covered by copyright. Paragraph B talks about official texts of a legislative, administrative, or legal nature, or official translation. So in other words, this bill, when it is done, cannot be subject to copyright. So any person can make a copy of it, etc., etc. Then the sub-paragraph 2 says it does not consist in speeches of political nature, speeches delivered in courses of legal proceedings or in the news of the day, provided that the maker can make a collection of speeches of the speeches in question. So in other words, I think very recently the American judge Scalia actually made a whole book of all his speeches delivered at various places. That book will qualify. But the speeches in question can be reported on in the news, etc., etc. Mrs. Fab's concern was, fine, now I understand that there isn't copyright for instance, if a member gets up in the House and makes a speech, that speech will not be subject to copyright. But let's say a member in the House says, the copyright bill is an innovation and we are making strides forward. And the newspaper then quotes the member as saying, the copyright bill is actually taking us a bit backwards and I wish that we would have made strides forward. What is the remedy if a person is misquoted? Because now you don't have copyright, you don't have that protection, and so on. So that was the question that Mrs. Fubbs raised. I hope DTI has an answer. From my side, what I can say is it will depend where the person is misquoted. That is the one thing. So for instance, if a person is misquoted in a newspaper article, you will go to the press ombudsman and say, X, Y, and Z has happened, here's the Hansard, here is the correct, and then there will be a retraction or a correction or so on. If it is misquoted in a publication, like a book, then you will have to go to the publisher to say, but what is this? This is incorrect. An example was this very recent book, President's Men and things like that, with Poe, where there's now court cases ongoing because whether the content of the book is in fact correct. So that is the kind of thing that I can think of. I don't know if DTI can add anything to that. I'm not sure that your protection lies in copyright. Mm. I think your protection lies in the law, in the area where you were misquoted. So that is, for instance, let's say one member says something and another member then in another meeting misquotes, then it will be something for Parliament's rules to deal with. So I think that you need to go to the area where the misquotation happened and look at that law.
Chair, I agree with what the advocate is saying regarding the relevant place where one can go for a remedial action. In terms of the legislation, the Copyright Amendment Bill itself, this kind of activity will not be catered for per se. The closest provisions that will apply will be on moral rights, where your rights as a creator are being misrepresented or not put the way that you would have wanted it to be presented. So that would be an area that will affect it. But copyright is about the creation of the mind. It's about creativity. So even if you have done the speech in a creative way, but it does not necessarily fall within that context. So in terms of the bill itself, it wouldn't. So other remedial actions will have to be pursued. Like we've had cases where the newspapers would, someone will write to the newspapers for misrepresentation, and the newspaper will issue an apology or some statement just to say that they misquoted. My colleagues can add if they have anything to say.
Colleagues? You must look at me and say, oh, you're covered or what? You need to say something before I pass. I can't pass without you nodding. Yes, no. Yes?
Good morning, everyone. Yes, we agree with the advocate and with our DDT. The example that the advocate made, the book itself will have a protection of copyright, like in the case of Jack Powell. The book itself will have the protection of copyright. However, if there's something within the book that infringes the law, then correctly so, there will be other remedies within the legislative framework.
Honorable members, Honorable Kachalia, Honorable Khadeva.
Just a question, hypothetically, say I am a particularly prolific speechmaker in Parliament. And one day I decide to compile all my speeches and put them into a book. And I exercise copyright over my speeches thus published. But if people then circumvent my copyright assertion by using the speeches that have been published in Hansard, for example, how do we deal with that?
If it will be a publication, it will be a book, and obviously you'll be an author of that. You have compiled it. It will be subject to the copyright protection, and any infringement on that would be applicable in the legislation. I think if it's a, it's something that is, it, as an author, you've got the book, and it's your copyright, and you have it's acknowledged as such, then you are entitled to the protections that come with that. Unless I did not understand your question. Colleagues,
don't stress, you are not alone. They are here. They will assist you.
Maybe also to add further on, if an extract is taken from that book, which is copyrighted, that extract obviously has to be referenced. That is the general rule that applies when you use any extract that comes from a book that is copyrighted. It must be properly referenced, and if a person put in quote and it's not properly referenced, I think that's the time you can actually lodge a complaint to say you're not properly referenced, yet an extract was taken. Unlike when a person paraphrases what you've already written, that would obviously be acknowledged as a paraphrase, not a reference. A reference always would come in quote. Thank you.
Honorable Khadev, Honorable Steneze, oh yeah. You, follow up? No. Oh, yeah.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think that the explanation is good, but I think what is being omitted there, what about the issue of the lectures in the universities? The lectures, let's say a particular lecturer deals or a researcher deals with a lecture which is open to public, which can be recorded, which can be transmitted, which can be live streamed sometimes. What, which area is going to protect that work? Is this bill going to do that?
Yes, it will. Okay, let's just, when we do something, if you're in the employment of the university, like I'm in the employment of the DTI, so any document I may draft or that of a lecturer belongs to the university or the department. They actually own the copyright, so you will be covered because in the scope of your employment, your work is owned by your employer. Honorable F. Cesar.
Yes, now I've got a problem with that as well. Firstly, the lady right opposite me said that you might lodge a complaint and you might do that. I think it's impractical and in a lot of cases completely difficult for people, for creators and authors to lodge complaint and go the route of the court and things, and I just cannot afford it. And then the thing, you know, the state is the biggest spender in this country. The state, most of the work from universities and things, but the people in universities that writes the textbook and things absolutely got no control of how many books and how many copies is going to be reproduced. And it brings us back to that, to what I said, it's impractical. What happens actually, you know, we did, there was, what is that body's name? Composers, authors, and publishers association, that everyone had to, what happened to them now? Are they falling away? That everyone had to register on?
Maybe let me respond to your DDG and also the Chairperson. Obviously it is cumbersome to lodge a complaint. Hence, a forum like a tribunal is proposed here as a very less costly and effortless forum wherein any person who feels their rights have been infringed can lodge their complaint accordingly. The problem, obviously, that we envisage would be if the public is not aware where they can lodge their complaint. Then it says that we need to have an education awareness to say where you can lodge a complaint with the tribunal rather than going to court. So that, in a sense, it keeps the part where we say it will be difficult for people to lodge complaint. On the very last comment that you made, we have the CIPC. That is actually a registered institution within the DTI, agency within the DTI, that receives complaints And those complaints are currently channeled into what would be a constitution that advocates or also promotes the rights of copyright owners and any other persons that would say they own rights in terms of their authors, their creators of works. This is what is currently happening. Other institutions, yes, they are there and they are not registered, and we are hoping, maybe through DDG, that eventually we'll find a way to get them. We are not also saying registered but accredited with the CIPC, because we also are of the view that people have the right to freedom of association. We cannot stipulate on who they should associate with. If they, for instance, select a particular collecting society to be the rather an institution they want to deal with, we cannot bar them from doing that. But so far we have the CIPC, and it will accredit associations that exist, even maybe potentially those that are still upcoming. They will be accredited rather via a CIPC. But those that are already existing, we cannot say people cannot use them and to assert their rights or also register their claims.
Can I have attendance register? I don't know, is it?
Yes.
Honorable, yes, the reason.
Chief, thank you. You know, I'm actually completely for this copyright, and I think people like Katana Marwa and the whole staff has done a lot of work that was needed. This Copyright Act was completely outdated. But I'm just mentioning a few of the concerns that I have. If an academic, for example, writes a book, he's got no control because it belongs to the state and to the university and the thing. And then my other little concern is that disabled people, and maybe that has been changed, one or two, I sit on other committees as well, so I'm just asking this question. Disabled people can even import work and use it as long as they're not going to reproduce or make money out of that. But that, the biggest problem is not legislation or the gaps in legislation, it's the oversight. He says, how do we control that? How are we going to control it if we have this gap in the bill also?
Yeah, is this just addressing those things also? DG, you must align up your team. Yeah. Tell them who's must talk, who must talk.
Okay. It will be missionary, and then it will be the doctor. I would like to say that the issues that the Honourable Member is raising are very important, and it is correct that we must ensure that our legislation is strengthened and enforceable, because we can have very good provisions, and then but in the actual libraries out there, things are happening. I think in terms of the measures that we mentioned, like the Copyright Tribunal, the education and awareness, we need to look for more measures to ensure that, because we are here, but in libraries, things are happening. And so this is more of an enforcement issue, Chair, in terms of how then are we going to make sure that these infringements do not take place, and also to guarantee our creators that their work will not be abused. So I think over and above what we mentioned here, we are challenged to go back and also to look at what else should we be looking at going forward in terms of actual enforcement. But it's not more of a policy issue, it's more of then the actual enforcement on the ground once we are implementing the legislation. Missionary, and then Doc, you can come in.
Thank you. Your comments are well noted, Honourable Member Essays, and I just want to create some clarity for us all so the process is a little smoother. Mm. Okay, author is a very broad term in terms of copyright. So author is not just the person who writes a book. Author can be viewed as the term creator. So anyone who creates a copyright work, whether a painter or we would call them a painter, but in copyright terms, they're authors. So I just want to distinguish the situation of employment and lecture notes. When you write a textbook, it's not necessarily in the scope of your employment with the university. So it may not be the university who owns that copyright. That is you as the author of a academic work, and the publisher will then own the copyright in because you would sell or assign your copyright to the publisher. And we need to just distinguish that, because we need to also keep in mind that our universities pay exuberant license fees to publishers in order to access these textbooks, and they don't make, in the current act, the current position, they are not allowed to make copies of textbooks and unlimited access, etc. They have to work according to the agreements of the license and obtain permission, etc. And then when we come to your question about Capasso, again, author, Capasso deals with music, and we'll get to them later on in the bill. They currently collect for mechanical rights. It is your digital rights, your ringtones, etc. They currently won't be affected per se. They need to just align with the regulation we will bring into four collecting societies, and as the doctor mentioned, you know, the accreditation, etc. But they specifically collect for the mechanical right for musicians. They've got nothing to do with where we are right now with the textbook issue. So we just need to keep in mind the Section 2A, it's just an exclusion list that is in line with modern copyright law, that we want to get our bill up there with the EU and the USA by just not allowing anything to be copyrightable. And but on that note, even though an idea is not protected by copyright, there is another form of intellectual property, the patent, where you can protect an idea through your patent law. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean you're not going to have a protection even if the copyright legislation doesn't cover ideas, etc.
Are you doctor? Now I'm confused. Is she's doctor?
Both of them.
Huh?
Both of them.
Oh, okay. Dr. David must take that doctor. We must know.
Okay.
Doctor, yeah.
Yes. 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 I just want to take the matter further down. Maybe speak to academia. What happens when a writing is owned by the academic institution? Yes, there are situations like those. But in those instances, there are obviously some subordinate operational regulations that happen in the academic space. For instance, if you write a thesis, there would be a rule that for at least a period of 2 years, that thesis is owned by the university. Even you, as the person who have written, you have no right to make any reference outside. If maybe I'm trying to respond to your other question where you said an institution would own, you know, that copyrighted work. There would be a period wherein you're not allowed to use that work, and obviously in terms of agreement, you would have signed to it to say, when I do my study, I'll make sure that I don't use it for a period of 2 years, depending on different institutions, of course. Some will say 2 years, some would say 1 year and a half. You are not allowed to use it. Actually, it belongs to the university. Then after such time, then you can use it and also make extensive, rather, publication around it. Thank you.
Honorable, you know, now I know how to call your name. Esther Heise. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry to be a nuisance. It's just for me, like, the users and the creators now share the copyright. That's basically what you're saying. I'm going to give a very simple and humbling saying that we own an advertising company in Johannesburg, and some of the people, like the chair, who's now probably having tea with the Queen, and the people at this year that knows me and been with us know, and we're very blessed that we do all PepsiCo. PepsiCo were PepsiCo is like Simba and Lay's and all the chips and things like that. All Simba the lines actually that you've seen and seen on TV actually belongs to us, not to Simba. And they had to pay us for wherever it was used, but it's been faded out now. PepsiCo in America has decided for the bees business and all that. So we're fading Simba the line out completely. But still, we wrote, as an advertising company, we do copyright work, we write music for the Knick-Knack Man or whoever. Now, what happens to that now when they use it? So everybody can use your music in public places, music that we've produced as much and as many times as they want to without permission. Is this what we're saying now?
Yes. This particular clause is not really talking about that. It's something else. Obviously, maybe that question, we may spare it for further legal provisions that we're going to deal with, if I may.
Can we flag that? Then you remind us when we reach that point where we need also to address this question that is asking. Do we agree, or Honorable Alpo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's important that not everybody here understands copyright or what can be copyrighted or not, so that's why we're having these discussions. I think perhaps we must just go a little bit back to the Copyright Act itself and note that there are 8 different works that can be copyrighted. So Honorable Esther Eisen now referred to jingles for advertisements, which is a musical work. If there's words that goes with it, then it's also a literary work. So I think perhaps if there's not clarity about that, perhaps Advocate van der Merwe or somebody else can just explain what works are eligible for copyright, literary works, artistic works, and so forth, and that there are each a category on its own, and while they all share the same rules, there are also some unique rules to each. So when we talk about mechanical copyright, it's something that you won't find in anything outside music, as far as I understand. And mechanical copyright, what confuses people when they read the Act, for instance, the Act is not easy to read either. They don't read the word mechanical copyright or publication right. Those are practice words, words that was created in practice, where the rights are then divided up into different kinds of sub-rights, but it's not written into the Act itself. And I'm not sure if there's any act in the world that actually does that. But I think just for clarity for our committee's sake, perhaps we must just step back a little bit and give people an overview, because we will be talking about textbooks the one moment, the next moment we talk about music. Mm-hmm. And the rules are same, similar to a degree, but they're also different. Mm-hmm. And once you start confusing them, then you won't know where you are in trying to solve the problems that we're dealing with here. Thank you.
Yeah, we're addressing your point, Honorable Esther, and that's why everybody now is in this point now. So give us some moment to deal. We're dealing with your issue. If we can't answer it here today, we will request the legal team, both the department and advocate, to go and get us some answers. Then they'll come and respond to us. We don't need just to answer everything here. As much as they say, it's very complicated. We don't know how to read. It's a lot of works that are there. So give us an opportunity. If we fail to give you an answer, they'll come back with an answer on that. That's why I said we might need to pack this. Then we'll come back, and then they'll explain with more information on it. Honorable Mbuyane, and then Honorable Kashali, and then I'll get the responses.
Chair Dansman, I'm more confused now. These issues, I'm not so sure as to how it's possible how to copyright an idea. I'm lost, as I said, because really we're talking of mechanical and computerized kind of an arrangement where I write an idea, then from there someone took it somewhere and implemented. How can I therefore, the copyright remains my tenant as an author? Because someone can take it to the system and use it somewhere. Like for instance, the department requests a concept document. They prepare a concept document, I submit to a department. Then from there, you will find out the department gave to someone else, and we took the ideas and given somewhere to other guys. How does that happen? I'm not so sure, because that's what confused me.
Okay.
copyright, how to copyright an idea.
Okay, I think what Honorable Albert was saying, there are eight. We will be confused more. I think he has seen that way, the approach that we are using now, there will be more confusion. And they say the department, they must explain in summary, not in detail. You will confuse us more if you can. But if we are not ready on that part, we must be careful also not to confuse ourselves more. We can just answer those questions. We will have to task the department and advocate to come up with that proposal that Honorable Albert is saying, to say there are those works, the eight types of copyright, and then they will explain to us in summary, or you just have to write something. We'll read it ourselves. Okay, no, the DDG is saying they are ready. They will give us an answer now. Fine, that's what I want.
I can see we're losing everybody, okay? And then speak slow. We start first with copyright. To be protected, your work must be original, and it must be reduced into material form. Those are the two requirements in terms of the Act. An idea is not protected by copyright. So just try and create that picture in your mind. It's not protected. It's just an idea. It's just in your head. If you reduce it into a letter or a material form, then you will have copyright. But it can't be just an idea. You must turn that idea into, let's use an example, a concept document. So then you have it in a material form. It's subject to copyright. But that's not your copyright, and it goes to what the Chief Whip alluded to. You wrote it in the employment of the department or Parliament. They're going to own that copyright. Should it be infringed? Should Charmaine decide she's going to take some of your ideas and not mention you? It's for Parliament to pick it up. So again, it goes to this monitoring system, that we shouldn't confuse the monitoring and implementation with what this clause is dealing with. And what this clause is dealing with, and it is correct with what Honorable Albert is saying, the Act has many different works that are protected. It's still being protected. If you look at the clause, we're not touching, saying musical works mustn't be protected or artistic works. This is just an insertion or an addition into that bill. So we are just saying all those works are still protected because you do get a wide variety. We've seen this industry is very big. There's paintings, there's artistic works. And yes, copyright is very specific. But I think if you can create the picture in your mind that those works are not being excluded from copyright protection and that it's fine, you'll understand this clause. This clause 2A is only excluding those few things in the list. It's not going music, it's not going textbooks, it's only those very specific things mentioned in that clause, which is a table. If you think about what a table of contents looks like, you're just saying, the introduction is page 2 to 4. That is not creative, that is not a lot of, it's just you putting something in some sort of structure. So we're saying, let's not be over-prescriptive. The EU is doing it. The US is doing it. Australia, a lot of countries are modernizing their copyright. And let's also just throw digital out the window for a second in this clause only. And let's look at what we're excluding, because this is what it is. It's an exclusion list. And I know it gets complicated because you end up touching on everything. So legislation, can't copyright it. An idea, you can't copyright. A table, you can't copyright. And then that is clause 2 done. The other issues that are on the table now, I think we'll deal in the clause that follows or a few clauses down, the communicating to the public, and there we can get into, but I just want to create a picture for you. So it's just two requirements. It must be original. Like you decide today, you walk out, you're going to create a song. You've got this tune in your head. Then you go and you put it down into writing. It's protected in terms of copyright work, the writing part of the song as well as the music, because you've reduced it now to material form. And something we try and tell the public, and maybe it's something we should share, if you want to copy or protect your work, you know how the South Sea sign looks, the sea in the circle? So on all your documents that are not obviously in the scope of your employment, you draw the sea in the circle, you write all rights reserved in 2018, and that's something we're teaching the public because it gives you copyright protection, because we don't have a system in South Africa where we register copyright. It comes into being automatically. So the minute you write a song or write a book, you're automatically protected. But as an extra strengthening provision, do the sea in the circle or rights reserved. Another, and it sounds silly, something else you can do is send a registered letter to yourself. So you put all your original documents and your ideas or that you've written down into a form or the song or the book or the script, and you post it to yourself via registered mail. That shows you proof as well that you have protected your idea. And in a more digital way, you can send yourself an email with all your attachments and you don't open the email. So those are also small things that I think is linked to more education and awareness and monitoring and implementation. But we are looking into it as a department, but it is complicated. But like I say, let's just keep try and separate, and you know, this clause that we're dealing with, and you know, it's not the exceptions yet. It's just we're excluding. It's not an exception. It's downright an exclusion of what is not copyrightable.
Don't be more confused, honourable members. Clause two. Don't add more things. We end up confusing the whole process. We are dealing with close to, we need to wrap up now. If there are information that is needed more, let's say so. If you are not covered with this close to A, and so that we close this close. Are we in agreement or are we not in agreement? We don't hear the department, we don't hear advocate, we need to agree now. Do we hear them or hey, they are singing a song that it's got lots of lyrics, but you don't understand the English. So let's finalize this clause. Okay, honorable. I can see you're not...
No, I'm happy with the procedure. I just want to make some procedural comment here. There are generic questions which are being asked by Honorable Esther Hazen here, which are... I want to test that my understanding is correct. What we are doing here is going through clause by clause, every single amendment to the bill, which is contained in this document. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, each one of these will speak to the generic concerns in some way that Honorable Estrazen has risen, but there will also be specific issues which we are dealing with here. And that is the process that we've gone on. Now, given that we've spent an hour on one clause here, and we hope to finish this on the 31st of May, I think we are dreaming, because we will not get there. It's as plain as the nose on my face, at any rate, number one. Number two, we, in previous meetings, identified a number of outside experts who we're going to hear from. Now, those outside experts, because considerations, these amendments here are the DTI's amendments as I understand it, as they currently stand.
No.
The our amendments.
Remember, we met in the PC. Yes. Now they're outlining the questions that were raised from the PC. That's why we need to close on this item before.
Okay, so my question is that then we've identified some experts. Presumably those experts will have a view on this, and that will inform this further. So that process needs to happen as well. Is it going to happen in the subcommittee, or is it going to happen in plenary of committee? Because this needs to be clear. Otherwise, if we push this willy-nilly to end at the 31st of August and say we've ticked all the boxes, it's really not.
I think the expert, you can answer that one. Advocate is here. She's taking everything. After this process, she must go and meet the expert, and they come with a complete document, a clean one, with our input. Let's not confuse the expert and ourselves and everybody. Advocate, just when you look at advocate, you see the expert is fine. All the information, everything that we're discussing here, whatever we're saying, she must take everything to the expert, and they must deal with it. Those experts, they are technical people. We are not technical. We can do a lot of
a lot of things here and the incorrect ones. So we are here to give her the information, then she meets with the technical expert, then they clean everything, then they'll bring a clean document to us. If I'm worried with the time,
I'll be there.
Yeah, so please. But it's one honorable who's making us to dwell.